I'd ask you to please turn with me to Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And I would like to consider this verse for encouragement this evening, particularly to seekers and also to those that are in the way serving the Lord, because we have, for example, in August we have Sports Reach coming up, and there are times when we need to be reaffirmed of a confidence in the gospel, a confidence in the cross of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. It's so important for us to rejoice in the Lord, to encourage ourselves in the Lord, and to remind ourselves of the wonders of redemption through the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, that in this fallen world in which we live, we have a message. We have a message that we have a responsibility to proclaim to the lost. And it is the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's the most wonderful message, and it remains this evening a message of hope, a message of wonder, a message which will enable, as God applies that message, to bring a sinner from their lost state into a safe state through the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. So in the context of this verse, the Apostle Paul is explaining that the great wisdom of God is seen in the anointed Messiah. That is Christ Jesus, the Son of God made man, dying upon the cross in the very place of needy sinners like me and like you. But this message, the world, this word, this preaching, it brings a reaction in the world. In the context of the chapter, the Jews, this message produced a stumbling block to them. Oh, they had a vision of their Messiah to be a great political leader, a leader that would conquer the Romans, a leader that would make them the greatest nation in the world. But the message that their Messiah was actually the anointed one of God that hung upon a cross became even a scandal to them in their thinking. The theologians of the day had moved so far away from the Old Testament scriptures, and their minds had become so taken up with their own commentaries, their own editions, that they had lost the message amongst their own commentaries. Well, the Greeks were constantly seeking wisdom, and they were going round and round in their intellectual circles, and this is mentioned in the Acts of the Apostles. They were constantly talking and asking questions and discussing some new thing. This message was offensive to them. It was just too simple for them. That a person who has sinned and come short of the glory of God should come to trust only in Jesus of Nazareth hung upon a cross, that He is the Saviour, and that the gospel and being right with God and knowing God can only be an experience for us as we come to Calvary's cross and to look simply just as I am to the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and come as a sinner to Him and trust only in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was offensive to their intellectual minds. It was foolishness to them. But the Apostle Paul gives a very solemn warning. He said, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Perishing. If we continue in life and die rejecting Jesus Christ and Him crucified, there will be an eternal perishing. And those that are, even today in their life, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to water down the gospel, they are found amongst those who are perishing. And therefore, we have a message for those who are perishing. We have a message of the gospel. And with God's help, we need to continue to preach it. We need to continue to witness to it in our own lives. Because the Apostle Paul says, to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is something very precious. It is something very wonderful. It's something upon which our faith depends and must depend totally and completely. And so this evening I trust that we will see just for a few moments together from the Word of God that the messages of the cross is actually something very wonderful. It's something very precious. Now this message that Paul gives, the gospel message, it is centered upon the dynamic power of the cross. Paul says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And this word power is a word that in the original has the meaning of dynamite. It is something dynamic. It is something with incredible power. And the question is this evening, do we believe in the dynamic power of the cross to change people's lives? Do we realize that it is only the gospel that can change a person's life for good eternally? That there's nothing new. It is this wonderful old message of the gospel that remains today in 2018, the grand message that the people need to hear, the children need to hear, the young people need to hear, the middle-aged people need to hear, the old people need to hear. It is this same message of Christ and Him crucified. The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of it. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. And he says that in Romans chapter 1. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it is the power of God. Paul doesn't change his message. He didn't change his message to the Romans and have a different message to the church at Corinth. They both needed to know and to trust and to depend totally upon Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so Paul is saying here that it is through the preaching of the cross that the power of God is experienced. And so we look at the cross this evening and we come to see that the cross reminds us this evening of the power of God's sovereignty over all. So many times in the history, God proves to us that He has all things under His divine control. What seemed to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, failure and tragedy. What seemed to the enemies of Christ, a great success, was actually simply the outworking of God's sovereign power. That God was overruling. That God had all things under His control. You remember in the Old Testament, we have the account of Joseph, and Joseph is a type of Christ in this, that his brethren meant evil against him. They put him in a pit. They sold him as a slave, and he ends up in Egypt. And now he is the leader and the prime minister of Egypt, and he's made himself known to his brethren. And Joseph said, when his brethren feared that he would take his revenge, he said, God meant it for good. Isn't that amazing? God meant it for good. Oh, thrown in a pit, put in the prison for standing for the truth. That's what happened to Joseph. And yet, Joseph is saying, as he looked back over his life, God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. But far be it that Satan had everything under his control and he was in the master planner. God was protecting. God was overruling. And so this brings us to Christ crucified. And this is one of the great messages that came through in that first sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Yes, you are responsible as men that you have taken this perfect Son of God made man and you put him upon the cross. But nevertheless, God knew beforehand. And he'd actually delivered him into your hands by his determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, because Christ crucified, it was going to be the great message of God's love to this world for needy sinners. It was going to be God's way and is God's way of saving his church unto redemption. So let us praise, first of all, the amazing sovereign power of God at the cross. Sometimes a believer's faith is faint because of adverse circumstances in your life. And the answer for you this evening, the answer to strengthen your faith, is to come to the cross. Because here, by the world standards, is failure. And there are sometimes situations in our life, even as we seek to follow the Lord, and especially as we seek to follow the Lord, because we'll get things which are persecution, and we seem to fail at times. And we need to come to the cross, because the cross, by the world standards, is failure. But by God's standards, the perfect way whereby we can be delivered and made right with him. The cross is the great demonstration of the power of God over the power of Satan. Satan, by moving sinful men to put Jesus on the cross, was actually under the sovereign overruling power of God. But when we view it by the old nature, and we just, as the disciples did, it seems like failure, but God was in total control, as he said to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And so the cross is the place of great comfort this evening. The cross reminds us of the sovereign power of God to bring blessing from tragedy, to bring blessing from something which is deeply upset us in our lives. So when we don't understand tragedy, please remember the cross. Please remember the cross. And when we hear of loved ones perhaps suddenly taken away, we heard only yesterday or 2 days ago of someone known to us in near where we lived, a relation of connected with some of our family, killed suddenly in a car accident, had a heart attack, and just was killed suddenly, only 62 years of age. How do we comfort people like that? How do we speak to the wife, the bereaved wife, and the family who are suffering so much? Well, if we go to the cross of Jesus Christ, we see that God can overrule. Here is a loved one taken, the only beloved Son of God, the Holy Son of God, cruelly hung upon a cross. Yet through this death, God has saved his people from their sins. Satan means it for evil, but God overrules it for good. And the cross of Jesus Christ helps us to appreciate in our minds the awesome power of God over evil, the awesome power of God over Satan, the awesome power of God to bring blessing from tragedy. The writer to the Hebrews says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, The Apostle Paul is reminding brethren, but not only in Romans, not only to the church at Corinth, but also in the Hebrews, letter to the Hebrews, that Christ has the power. But then the power of God's forgiveness. Think of the amazing words of Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Think of the dying thief who started in his first moments and time upon the cross hurling abuse at the Lord Jesus. But he died a forgiven man. Lord, remember me today that you will be with me in paradise. This is our Saviour. Think of the Apostle Paul who sent Christians to prison and to death. Yet he was saved by God's grace. Think of the Apostle Peter, who was restored to his Lord and Master after he denied his Master. You remember how Peter, we read, sat in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also are with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth, but again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I do not know the man. And immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus who said to him before, the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. But we read that Jesus had already prayed for Peter that his faith would not fail. That proactively, before Satan had sifted him as wheat, Jesus said, I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. And when you've returned to me, when you've repented, strengthen your brethren. Oh, the power of forgiveness, the power of Christ in him crucified, the power of Christ's forgiveness. What about the state of the church here at Corinth before they were converted? What about the state of the city of Corinth? It was a place renowned for its evil, corruption, for its idolatry, for its immorality. It was one of the hardest cities in the world to work. But to this city Paul was sent by God. He had been beaten at Philippi. He'd been ridiculed at Athens. Yet despite this, two churches were formed in those cities. He then comes to Corinth, another very difficult city to work in. And he said, I didn't come to you with excellence of speech or of wisdom. I didn't come to you with as though I was a great theologian and parading all my knowledge. No, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This was God's testimony for you. Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness. I was with you in fear. I was with you in trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not within persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Oh, the Apostle Paul preached forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Oh, wonder of all wonders, that through thy death for me, my open sins, my secret sins, can all forgiven be. Isn't that wonderful this evening? It's far better than winning the World Cup. Christ crucified is, it's going to be with you next week. It never disappoints you, because God never fails you. It's far better. It's there. Constant. The message of Christ and him crucified until the end of the world. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. But then, what of the power of God's peace? The glory and majesty and beauty of God's peace is magnified at the cross of Jesus Christ. because there we learn to appreciate what it costs to obtain this peace with God for needy sinners. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, the chastisement for our peace, was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This peace that comes through Christ and him crucified, it's a lasting peace. It's not a peace that we have to renegotiate. It doesn't have to be updated. It doesn't have to be reconsidered. It doesn't have to be interpreted in different ways in different nations. It's the same message. And it's a peace that will hold for eternity. But only as we accept God's way of peace can we enter into real peace. It is only as we lay our load of sin at the cross, plead in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that we can never appreciate the experience of this blessed peace. Because the power of God's peace is found at the cross of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Faith in Christ and him crucified. But then there's another thing, the power of God's access. Is it not amazing that because of the cross of Christ, we have access to the throne of God, unworthy as we are? During the last century, there was a president in the USA, and one Saturday morning he was in the Oval Office, and his little son wanted to see him. And evidently his son came from where they were staying locally in the apartments where they were staying near the office, and he just walked along the corridors, and the guard would stop the little boy. They knew who he was, and he said, "My dad's in there," and he carried on walking. And eventually he just opened the doors of the Oval Office, and the president was meeting someone in there, and the president looked up, and there was his son. He said, "Oh, come to me," and he took him on his knee, and this little boy knew that he would have access, even into the Oval Office. He'd have access because his dad was in there. His dad was the president. But it didn't mean that he wouldn't have access to him. And so it is with the wonder of the power of Christ and him crucified. There is an access that is made for us to the Heavenly Father. We can come just as we are to our Father in heaven. We can pray to him as our Father in heaven through the precious work and person of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus died upon the cross, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, and it signified a way into the Holy of Holies, a way that has been made through Christ Jesus the Lord. We have access to the throne of grace, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. But then finally, this evening, the power of God's message at the cross is the message of his love, the message of his great love. Our text reminds us that the message of the cross has a power behind it. It's not only a power to forgive. It's not only a power to bring peace. It's not only a power given access unto the throne of God, but it's a power that transforms our lives. The cross has a precious practical effect upon our lives. The power of love. And when we see that God, because of his great love, wherewith he loved us, that he sent his only begotten Son into this world, that we might be saved through him. And we marvel and wonder at the love of God. It will affect our lives. It will transform our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit, because the first fruit of the Spirit is love. And love will transform our lives under the power of the Spirit. And the cross is meaningless to us if it does not have an effect upon our lives. If it doesn't change us. The little children were being taught on Sunday, is this afternoon in Sunday school about the word repent. And the word repent is not only to say sorry, but to change your course, change your mind, to turn. And the cross of Jesus Christ will shake our lives. It will transform our lives. It'll have a precious practical effect upon our lives. And that effect will be motivated under the Spirit of God, whose first fruit is love. And that is one of the great evidences that we have been truly saved, that our lives are motivated by love. And because we love God, we love Him because He has first loved us, but that love of God shed abroad in our hearts will have a transforming effect, and it will make us truly loving people. That is the effect the cross has. That's the effect of the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. But then there is, as we conclude, the attracting power of the cross. But the Lord Jesus said that if I am lifted up on the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. And that is another reason for us having confidence in the gospel this evening. It is to remind ourselves that Jesus said, I will draw all peoples unto myself. People from every nation, people from every type of background, people from every situation in life. People are not beyond the power of God to save, according to His sovereign grace. And that is with that confidence in the gospel, and with that assurance in the gospel, and with that realization that in 2018, the gospel remains the all-important message for the world to hear, we move forward to serve God. And we trust that the Lord will bless the outreach ministers of this church. But we trust that the Lord will bless the preaching of the gospel here in this place, that sinners will see that there is somewhere, there is a person we can go to, Christ and Him crucified, who will receive us as we are, who will cleanse us, who will forgive us, who will make us right with God, who will give us peace with God, who will be a shepherd and guide us to heaven at last. Let's pray together. Our great and almighty and gracious Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we do pray that You would so graciously move our hearts this evening to really respect the message of the gospel and to the marvel at Christ and Him crucified. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for all that You have done for needy sinners through Your only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this evening as we sing our closing hymn, we will have that precious God-given faith to come just as we are. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.